And I've never walked in one of those buildings and thought, the presence of God's in this place. Never. They always seem so cold, so dead. It's just a picture of man-made religion. It's fruitless. It's useless. And that's what James is saying. Superficial religion lacks results. The only way for your faith to have results is if it is rooted in a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The only way to bear fruit in our life is for the Holy Spirit to fill us and us to submit to His authority, and the fruit of that relationship is borne out in our life and the fruit of the Spirit. Superficial faith in verse 26. Well, look at verse 27. Verse 27, James contrasts that of superficial faith to that of supernatural faith. Faith that changes, faith that has an impact, faith that doesn't just have this relationship with God through Jesus Christ, but that relationship moves out from there. And that's what he says in verse 27. Look what he says. Pure and undefiled religion or faith, Christianity, before God the Father is this. So first of all, he's saying that it's a relationship between God's creation and God. It's pure, undefiled Christianity is between us and God the Father. And so, first of all, it reaches up to a relationship with our Creator who sent His Son as our Savior. And so that relationship, supernatural faith, comes through a relationship with God the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ. But that faith that reaches upward has to then reach out. It has to make an impact in the world that we live in. Look at what verse 27 says. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble. Now, what James did is he took two segments of society that are the most forgotten. Now, it's not the only reach that the church should make, is to those people who have no parents, those children who are orphans, and those ladies who have no husbands, whose husbands have died. But James is taking two segments of society that society forgets about and who are helpless. Because in the first century when James is writing this, orphans without a family, without parents, they were completely dependent upon somebody else for their care, for their needs to be met. Widows in the first century, these ladies were the ones who worked in their home. They did not go out and work to be able to bring in resources into the family. So widows were completely dependent upon their husband or their adult children to bring in resources to pay the bills of the house. And so James is taking two segments of society that were often forgotten about in society, but were completely dependent upon other people to meet their physical needs. And he says, supernatural religion, supernatural faith that you and I have, when we reach upward and Christ changes us, He reaches into us and He changes us, He automatically in us, He places something in us when He makes us like Himself. When Jesus walked upon this earth, He went to the marginalized in this world. He went to the people society forgotten about. He went to the folks who needed Him. He said, you go to the sick people. Physicians go to sick people. I came to heal the sick. I came to reach the lost. Jesus went to those that society had forgotten about. And so when we connect with the Father through Jesus Christ, He places the Holy Spirit in us. We reach up and then we have to reach out because He places in us the Holy Spirit. And with the Holy Spirit comes compassion. We have to care for those in this world who need the love of Christ in their life. And James is taking two groups, orphans and widows, and we can talk about them. We can talk about them a lot. I can tell you the church is finally making strides to meet the needs of orphans. But I'll tell you, there's over 300,000 children in our state in foster care. Over 300,000 children in the state of Louisiana. Is that number correct? Am I correct on that, Miss Debbie? 300,000 children in foster care in the state of Louisiana. Do you realize that if the church would respond to James 1:27 with compassion, the church alone could remove all of those children out of foster care? Do you realize that if the church would respond to the issue of orphans, that they would, that there would never be an orphan problem if the church would respond? But that's what the Holy Spirit is saying through James. That superficial religion is that has no restraint, but also superficial religion is that has no compassion. But true and undefiled religion, true and undefiled Christianity, faith in Jesus Christ is that reaches up to this relationship, realizing we can't save ourselves, that Jesus Christ came into this world to save us, and we reach up to that relationship. And through reaching up, we reach out to meet the needs of those who cannot meet the needs themselves. But do you know what? We as the church are allowing the state to take care of the needs that God has called us to take care of. And it happens in foster care and programs for foster children. Do you realize it happens in welfare? Do you realize welfare that never should have been the responsibility of the government? Welfare never should have been a handout to those who need. You know, there's a very small group of people who actually need help where they can't help themselves. And the Bible gives us mandates on how to do that. In fact, God told the children of Israel how to do that. It's the gleaning of the field. You leave the corners of the field. You harvest and leave the corners of the field for those, for the widows. We see it in Ruth. Ruth went and gleaned in Boaz's field because Ruth was a widow. Her mother-in-law was a widow, Naomi. And she went on behalf of Naomi and gleaned Boaz's field. So they didn't package it up for her. And she sit at her house waiting for the gleanings to show up. She went, she was an able body. She went and she gleaned the field and took care of it. But listen, had Boaz harvested all of the barley, all of the wheat in the field, there would have been none for Ruth. See, we're harvesting everything. But we've been asked, we've been mandated to care for those who are needy, who can't care for themselves. And when the church disregards a biblical mandate, the government has to take over. And when the government has to take over, it becomes a monster. And we don't provide needs for those who are needy. We provide needs for anyone who wants it. And they don't have to come and work for it. They don't even have to pass a drug test to get it. You just sit at the house and wait for the check to come. But see, it's never supposed to be like that because it was the church's responsibility. Orphans and foster care children, that never should have been the state's responsibility. Because if we were to live the way Christ had called us to live and saved us to live. We connect with him upward, and because of that connection, we have compassion to those who are out here, and we meet those needs of those who can't meet needs for themselves. Widows. True widows. Paul talks about true widows. True widows are those who don't have children who can help care for their needs. And we have a long list of ladies in our church whose spouses have died. There's only about four or five in our church who are true biblical widows that the church should be meeting constant needs on their behalf. You see, look, supernatural faith is that that reaches up, but then it reaches out and it meets needs of those people who can't meet, who can't take care of themselves. The marginalized, the hurting, and see that, but oftentimes what we do is we just keep meeting needs of each other whose needs are already met. Have you noticed that? We meet needs and do things for those people that whose needs are already taken care of. It's convicting. Supernatural faith. It reaches up, it reaches out. Look at what James says here, or the Holy Spirit through James says. Pure and undefiled religion of faith or Christianity before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So supernatural faith then reaches inward. It looks in. It's spiritual discipline. That's what James is saying. That supernatural faith is a faith that has spiritual discipline in their life. One that repents. One that sets up boundaries. One that doesn't just walk the aisle and say, give me some Jesus, get me wet, and then I'll go live the way I want. That's superficial faith. Supernatural faith is one who comes and submits their life to Christ and is changed by the gospel and lives a life that's completely different and one that's in the process of being sanctified and being made holy and has spiritual discipline. They're reading, spending time in God's Word. They're spending time praying and they're growing in the relationship with Jesus Christ and they're looking inward at the things. That's why we talk about confession in here on Wednesday night. God, what is it in my life that doesn't look like Jesus? And God, help me to remove that. Help me to lay it down. Help me to repent of that and walk away from it. God, cleanse me of that. Supernatural faith is faith that's growing because it's constantly looking in. It's constantly doing a self-evaluation. It's constantly saying, God, what? It's that search me prayer we talked about at the beginning of the year. Find me in any wicked way in me. God, show me my heart. As black as it is, as ugly as it is. James really is just laying a foundation because he's about to start talking about things that are really going to get in our grill. Amen. But unless there's this relationship with Christ that is a supernatural relationship that begins a supernatural faith that moves out from ourselves and meets needs of people through compassion and love and care. He's got to lay that foundation before he gets to the rest of this stuff. It's powerful. Here's the question for us tonight. What kind of faith do you possess? Is it superficial? Is it just exterior? Is it a facade? Is it supernatural? Is it a life that's been changed by the grace of God and is growing in that relationship with Jesus Christ. I want us to bow our heads tonight. God, we need you to search our hearts. God, we're completely dependent upon your Holy Spirit to move, to convict, to reveal, to shine light. God, I pray, Father, that First Baptist Houghton wouldn't be a group of church members, but Father, that we would be a group of saved, Spirit-filled disciples of Jesus Christ, growing with spiritual disciplines placed into our life for the purpose of making us more like Jesus. Father, I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would reveal superficial Christianity. God, that you would show us what's real and authentic in our life. And God, when you shine your light, God, I pray, Father, that we would respond. Not make an excuse. God, that we would respond. God, I love you and I thank you for saving me. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would make me and use me for your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have church conference tonight. I'd love for y'all to hang out. We'll give you a little report about the chapel project and what's going on over there. And then we got some other stuff we'd like to give you, some financial things. And so hang loose. We're going to start in